Director General Graziano, I salute you and express my appreciation that you dare to invite two academics to open this meeting. Excellencies, delegates, ladies and gentlemen, world agriculture and food transformations are significant. We are ill-prepared to handle them. Some fundamental things need to happen in order to manage the transformations, in order to achieve the sustainable development goals, and innovation is central for that. Let me first revisit a few of the key transformations, and there is number one, the big demographic transitions. More people in some parts of the world, lots more young people with aspirations. In other parts, aging, especially also in rural areas. Middle of the century, we expect 9 billion people at least, but they will consume probably more like 12 billion people. There's a nutrition transition and transformation. Hunger declining, but not fast enough. Nutrition improving, but not fast enough. Obesity increasing. And then there is a transformation of urban and rural space. I think we need a new vision and a new perspective about what is rural and what is urban. Rural space is also urbanizing because of the connection with communications technology, and also because of better education and rural labor market changes. But we also need a new perspective about urban. Agriculture needs to penetrate rural space from into urban space. The vision of green cities, smart cities, not just energy-wise smart cities, but also incorporating the food economy is needed. A third major transformation relates to agriculture's role in the general economy. What you see here is that agriculture as share of gross domestic product in the world has rapidly declined. You know that, but you may be surprised how far it has declined in the last two decades. The share of agriculture and gross domestic product, according to World Bank statistics, is now about 4%. I feel these figures are very misleading. We need a new perspective on how to count the value of agriculture. And I think FAO can play a key role in that. You heard from Professor Monty Jones said, of course, in Sierra Leone, employment share and GDP shares are much higher, but those are the global figures. The misleading focus on agriculture GDP sets also the frame of senior policymakers who are not relating to agriculture and the food economy in the wrong direction. The fundamental problems of measurement are known, but there is also a new trend. Agriculture increasingly includes industry and services itself. So the structural transformation, as we economists call it, between agriculture, industry, and services is outdated. Agriculture delivers services, including ecosystem services. Agriculture is industrializing in the value chains. So agriculture is much bigger than the sector counted by GDP suggests. Agriculture sector becomes part of a larger bioeconomy, a bio-based economy. We understand this as the production and use of biological resources, new technologies, biological intelligence in all economic sectors, including beyond agriculture and forestry, in energy, textile, construction, the wooden houses are coming, and in city centers, the chemical and pharma sector. The most biologized sector, by the way, is now the pharmaceutical industry. In the last 5 years, more than 50 countries have written themselves bioeconomy strategies. And I'm glad to note that FAO has taken a key role in guiding the international debate on sustainable bioeconomy with a new committee. Because bioeconomy is not by definition sustainable, it needs principles. Last not least, a major transformation happens on the farms, in the small farm sector. That's a very dynamic process. It affects 2 billion people in the world. Part-time farming is on the rise. Small farms will be with us for the long run. They are important businesses. So to sum up, we have the transformation related to demographic change and rural-urban, the transformation regarding nutrition and consumption change, the transformation regarding a new perspective of what means agriculture and shift towards bioeconomy, and the transformation of the farm sector. Let me shift to what does this mean for the Sustainable Development Goals. Not only goal number 2, which we are mostly interested here in terms of ending hunger, improving nutrition, and sustainable rural development, is in itself an achievable goal. It connects to all other 16 goals. Without progress with goal 2, the other goals will not be achieved. There are trade-offs between the goals which need to be addressed. However, achieving goal 1, ending extreme poverty, and goal 2, ending hunger, will not be possible with business as usual or a little bit of more investment. Even a positive scenario, mapping out the progress on those 2 goals by 2030 will left them unachieved, probably in the order of magnitude that we still have 7% hunger by 2030. And declining overall economic growth in the world is reducing the probability to even reach that. So in addition to growth, employment, and innovation, we need a lot more social protection policies reaching out to farmers and rural areas. The volatility in markets, recently much debated by the G20 meeting in China, are still with us, and these volatilities in commodity markets are undermining the willingness to invest in agriculture. So we need to address that at global and national level. Climate change was emphasized as a topic of key importance by the Director General a moment ago. The top map, which you see here, is showing in the red areas the decline in expected yields over the next 30 years. And at the bottom, the Global Hunger Index. Vulnerability will increase in those areas which are already vulnerable to climate shocks. And I applaud the Moroccan government to focus on getting agriculture really into the climate debate, which it so far is not. So in sum, priorities for the CDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals, is we need coherent policies. Goals need instruments. We have learned that. Somebody by the name of Professor Tinbergen got a Nobel Prize for that more than 60 years ago. You need at least as many instruments as you have goals. Otherwise, goal achievement will be inefficient. We need sound measurement of progress, which we so far don't have. I know there is work going on the nutrition and hunger goals, but more is needed. We need strengthening capacities for implementation. Strong capacities by FAO and its partners are critical for that, And we need inclusion of farming communities, otherwise policies will not change. Let me lastly come to innovations for sustainable transformation. Ladies and gentlemen, on the right-hand side of this diagram, you see that agricultural growth worldwide is now already dominated by the contributions of innovation to growth. No longer more inputs, more irrigation, or more area expansion. It's almost 75% of world agricultural growth we get out of innovations. Innovations from farmers, from researchers, from private sector. So that we are on a good track there, but that must become 100%, not 75%. Otherwise, the environmental problems created by agriculture will persist. But we also need a micro perspective on technologies which drive transformation, overcoming the handhoe, precision farming, biological innovations, information technology for agriculture, equal access for women in all of this are key. And we need to move beyond extension towards vocational training in agriculture. I don't hesitate to make this a very specific proposal to you. Classroom training on agronomy, agribusiness, finance, on-farm experience from experienced farmers to young men and women, and certification for exams. An educated farming community is what the world needs, and we have very little of that so far, neither in South Asia nor in Africa. A trained cadre of future farmers. Why do we need that? Because it not only gives them skills, it uplifts their aspirations. I appreciated the presentation by Professor Monty Jones, the minister, about the role of policymakers to spread encouragement. I think that's a key function. It's not to interfere too much with markets, but to spread encouragement. On this graph, on the right-hand side, you see how farming people in Ethiopia who have high aspirations for their future adopt advanced seeds and fertilizer, and those with low aspirations don't do that to the extent. We need aspiration promotion, realistic, of course, not dreaming, realistic aspiration promotion in rural areas. In sum, accelerated investment in science and technology and research is needed, innovation to deal with climate, land, and water problems, and fostering farmers' own innovations through awards, farmer groups, and vocational training. Let me conclude, ladies and gentlemen. The science system in food and agriculture itself needs to change. We have a supply of science and we have demand for science in world food and agriculture and nutrition. They don't come together in a sufficiently structured way. We have wonderful players on each side, the supply and the demand side of the global science and agriculture system. But the tens of thousands of agricultural, food and nutrition scientists do not in a sufficiently structured way interact with implementers, actors, and policymakers. That's why the proposal I want to leave you with is the following. We need an international panel for food, nutrition, and agriculture, an IPFNA, which would be mapped along the concept of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. Imagine where would world climate policy be today if we would not have had an IPCC. The complex problems of world agriculture, the transformation issues which I have mentioned to you, require the mobilization at a global scale of science to facilitate informed decisions of the policy-making bodies. So that interaction between the policy domain and the science domain in food, agriculture, and nutrition is critical. And I believe, Mr. Director General, that FAO can play and must play a key role in kicking this off. Let me conclude my talk by underlining that agriculture, ladies and gentlemen, is being redefined due to new links between industry and services. We call it a bioeconomy. We must overcome this underestimation of the value added of agriculture in the traditional sector GDP approach. You must educate your colleagues, the ministers of finance and heads of state. That traditional sector perspective is belittling the role of agriculture in development. Secondly, we must manage agricultural transformation well at national and global levels. It's a development opportunity, so these transformations are not God-given. We can shape them, and we must shape them with knowledge and targeted policies. That's why we need an international panel on food, nutrition, and agriculture to relate science and policy in new ways. Thank you for your attention. Thank you.